It'd be good to make a start now. We've got just an hour for this morning's seminar, so keeping an eye on the time so that we don't get too late to lunch again today. But again, it's great to see so many of you here. Those of you who were at Helen's seminar yesterday morning will remember what a practical time it was and how much help you gave us. So that was so invaluable. I'm sure this morning's seminar will be equally helpful as we think about ministering to the elderly. Helen, it would be good to just know, you told us a bit about your previous ministry yesterday, but just to know, what is it about your experience and previous ministry that has given you a burden for ministering to the elderly?
I think there are two life experiences that spur me on. One is deeply personal. My gran never went anywhere near a church. I became a Christian when I was about 20, which was approximately a year before she died. Obviously, we didn't know that at the time. And I was so bowled over by the fact that my churches, they were just getting to know little chaotic me and getting to know what it was to teach me to the Bible. They realised that I was living with my nan. And so instantly at the same time, there was invitations for her to come to a coffee club, invitations for her to join the knitting team to do blankets to send overseas. And I can't be sure she became a Christian, but I can be sure she knew the gospel. And that was because my church, when I just become a Christian, decided to love my nan as well as me. But later on in ministry, I spent 5 years working in a United Reformed Church. And that's not my natural theological stable, it has to be said. Certainly not the church I was in. But I was down there serving for a particular reason. And it was a church where almost everybody was over the age of 75. And whilst there were many challenges about that time, it brought home to me the real spiritual hunger there can be in that later life, the wonderful opportunities there can be, and the fact there's a group of people there that have probably heard the gospel when they were younger and then just forgotten it for the next 60 years. But suddenly they're starting to ask questions again. I got so excited about sharing the gospel with people over the age of 80. That whilst it's not the biggest part of my ministry now, it's still something I absolutely adore.
Great, thank you. Rather helpful to know that you class the elderly as being over 80.
Well, I am...
Very reassuring.
I am slightly concerned, because there's a gentleman here I was chatting to beforehand, I won't make eye contact, who says that they started off this group for the old, over 50s. So in 2 months' time, I can join.
Helen, you're still very young. I pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the experiences that you've given to Helen and for the burden that you've given her to reach out to this vast area of our population. Father, we've got an ageing population in this country. And as Helen has so helpfully reminded us, they're still of the age group that would have had some kind of Christian education, would have some glimmering of who the Lord Jesus is. Father, before these dear souls get to have to meet you, we want to be able to reach them with the good news of the gospel. Father, we thank you that as we look around our churches, we do see elderly folk who love the Lord Jesus and who are thriving and still bearing fruit in old age. And that's a beautiful thing to see. But Father, we long to see more and more elderly people before they reach that time of having to stand before the Lord God Almighty. Father, help us in this ministry, we pray. And would you just bring your Holy Spirit to bear upon this vast area of our localities, churches and communities, the elderly people. Please help us to have a burden for them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Elizabeth. Well, I'd like to start by reading just a few verses of Scripture. Ephesians 1, it's one of my favourite passages of Scripture. Never convinced you're meant to have favourite passages, but I do. And it just simply says this. It's Paul's prayer of praise. Give praise to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Those blessings come from the heavenly world. They belong to us because we belong to Christ. God chose us to belong to Christ before the world was created. He chose us to be holy and without blame in his eyes. He loved us. So he decided long ago to adopt us as his children. He did it because of what Jesus Christ has done. It pleased God to do it. All those things bring praise to his glorious grace. God freely gave us his grace because of the one he loves. familiar words, possibly in a slightly unfamiliar phrasing. I was reading from the NIRV there, a translation I often use with the over 90s, when the eyesight is going and short sentences can be very helpful. But wonderful truths, wonderful blessings, wonderful adoption that all of us in this room know and I hope rejoice in. Well, think of your granny or your elderly parents or your siblings if you're over 75 yourself, or somebody who lives down your street or in your tower block who's of that age. Do you want them in eternity to be singing those words alongside you? Do you still see someone who is 92 as having the possibility of being born again and their lives changing round forever? When we look at Jesus' ministry, he spoke to the thief on the cross just hours before he died. It's never too late to come to Christ. And as we go into this seminar on reaching out to the elderly, I hope we can go into it excited and convinced that the elderly, those in later life, to use a slightly more politically correct term, are people who still need Jesus very much. Well, it's a necessary ministry. There are 11.8 million people over the age of 65 in the United Kingdom today. That's a lot of people. I'm going to use a number of stats throughout this seminar. They're all from Age UK and their statistics. So if you want the reference, just go onto the Age UK website. There's a PDF document download with fascinating statistics there, far more than I'm going to be reading out today. But 11.8 million over the age of 65, 1.8 over the age of 85. People are more likely than ever to reach their centenary. And it's anticipated that in the next 30 years, the number of people who are over 75 will double in Britain today. We are an ageing population. The life expectancy of the average man is 79. The life expectancy of the average woman is 83. But it's not the trendy area of evangelism in our churches. We don't see many churches, if any churches, setting aside a grey evangelist, to use one of my more favourite terms. It's not quite as glamorous as being a children's worker or a youth worker. It's not quite as strategic, people tell us, as being a student worker or a families worker. But the reality is there's urgency there. There is urgency because, to put it very crudely, time is running out for a lot of these people. And I suspect, if I've read the Bible correctly, which I hope I have, evangelism is never about expediency or being trendy. It's never about going for the population that can then grow the next pastor. It's about faithfulness and obedience. And actually searching out those people that God has chosen to come into his kingdom. And in my experience, even when we are looking at evangelism in the over 65s, there's still plenty of leadership potential there. If someone who has been the CEO of an exciting company for 30, 40 years comes to Christ, you'd be amazed how much energy they've got for the next 20 years. And how much wisdom and leadership they can bring to a church. And even if they've not been the CEO, even if they have been someone that has been working at the other end of the career scale, maybe as a cleaner, nothing wrong with that. But they will have wonderful encouragement potential. They have spent their life serving. They know what service looks like. They've spent their life relating to people from different backgrounds. They know what communicating across cultures looks like. Working in evangelism with the over 65s is an incredibly strategic ministry, one that excites me hugely. And as we do our work with the over 60s, the over 70s, the over 80s, the over 90s, we can model to the rest of the church what perseverance looks like. If we are still praying for that person, maybe we met them in their 40s or 50s, and they don't come to Christ until they're in their 60s or 70s. What a wonderful testimony that is of ongoing prayer and God's good timing. And we get to meet saints like Albert, not his real name, who came to Christ after retiring. He then got stuck into Bible study at his local church, decided that wasn't enough. He wanted to know the Bible even better. And so a few years ago, when I was coordinating the More College External Studies in England, he signed up for a correspondence course in biblical studies. He was 92 when he started. He spoke to me on the phone and said, "Helen, I'm not sure I'm going to do very well in the exams. I can't write very fast these days." I said, "Albert, don't worry. It's not a problem. I'm just intrigued, you know. Most of our student body are in their 20s, 30s, maybe 40s. It's not often we get someone who's 92. And his voice dropped and said, "Helen, let's be honest. It's not going to be long until I see Jesus face to face. I want to know him as well as possible before I do." What a joy. I want to be a 92-year-old like that, if the Lord spares me that long. But it's not just Albert that was a delight. As he studied, he brought with him about 12 people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. A man who didn't know Christ at all when he was their age. So let's start basic. Turn to the person next to you, near you, however it works for where you are. What are you looking forward to about later life? Now, if you already consider yourself to be there, I'm not making eye contact. What do you enjoy about later life? Just a minute with the person next to you. What are you looking forward to, or what do you currently enjoy? Okay, let's come back together again. Do a few people just want to shout out what they're looking forward to? Anyone brave enough to give us a go?
More time.
More time. It's going to be interesting to hear from the people that are already there, whether they think they've got more time or not. But absolutely, certainly not having to commute is one of my exciting things. Other people?
Not having to stick to a diary.
Not having to stick to a diary. Oh, yes. Actually, I'm not sure if I'm excited about that or terrified. Yeah. Other thoughts? Nurturing grandchildren. Yeah, God willing, that'd be a beautiful thing. More time to pray. It gets really squeezed, doesn't it, prayer? Yes. Actually, having more time to pray is a wonderful thing. People tell me that wisdom comes with old age. I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be a wonderful moment when that drops into my lap, although I understand that's not quite how it works. It's not inevitable, no. There are some beautiful privileges of later life. To have more time to spend with family and friends, at least more time that's not in structured activity. When I talk to people who are retired, the time often gets taken up, but it's not with the same thing every day, not the commute, not the responsibility of having a paid job. The opportunity of being able to use my gifts in the local church in new ways. I mean, I'm fairly active in my local church. I love it there. But I have a job, and again, a job I adore. But it's not one that allows me to do anything I like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday. I need to be in the office back then. I'm looking forward to having more experience. There is just something beautiful about getting a little bit older, and I'm noticing this already. And it's not necessarily wisdom, it's not necessarily good teaching, it's just the fact I've done so many stupid things, I know not what to do again. And it kind of banks up as the years go on. And that's very helpful to be able to pass on to the next generation. More opportunities for being faithful, to looking back on God's faithfulness, how he's persevered and preserved. Fruitfulness, seeing who has come to Christ over the years. And as I look at scripture, we see people like Abraham and Simeon, whose ministries went pretty long into old age. And then there are more contemporary examples. Australian evangelist John Chapman. I love the story that he once told of how an evangelical leader got alongside him and said, "John, you've run the race. Enjoy the last few years in your retirement community. Sit back, relax." And John, in his wonderfully gracious and very Australian accent, which I'm not going to try and replicate, went, "Don't be ridiculous. I'm starting up an evangelistic Bible study in my care home. There's work to be done." loads of privileges of age, but there are challenges as well. Now, obviously, there's no such thing as a uniform experience of older age. Some people go into retirement happy, surrounded by family, healthy. I mean, my parents, when they first retired, I never saw them. It was 6 weeks in Australia and New Zealand, then a month and a half in Canada in the fall to see the beautiful trees. I thought, you know, spending my inheritance, it's terrible. They were having a ball. But not everyone's experience is like that. And as years go on, it can get tougher and tougher. And our society has quite a love-hate relationship with older age. Just have to look at the adverts on TV. Now, release the equity from your home. Don't worry about the children. Go out there and enjoy life. Go and travel. Buy that spanking new car that you've always wanted. Get the Aston Martin. It's never too late. Doesn't look crazy at all if you're 75 driving around in a sports car. Go for it. The TV is nudging us to live life to the full for as long as we can. And at the same time, the same TV adverts say, plan for your funeral. Don't be a burden on your family. They won't want to pay. They won't be able to afford to pay. It's up to you to look after yourself. Well, you don't expect to live with your family when you get older. I mean, there are social services. They'll pop in. Lots of cuts, of course. Care homes. Yeah, I mean, they'll feed and water you. We realise it's not perfect. You might be many, many hundreds of miles away, thousands of miles away from your family. That's just how we do ageing in Britain today. And then there's the rather horrifying euthanasia debate. Sometimes coming from a place of deep compassion, not wanting people to suffer. I understand the not wanting people to suffer thought. But when you look at some of the horrifying stories from other places in Europe, people pressured into making decisions to end their own life, it is terrifying. So back with the person next to you. What aren't you looking forward to about later life? What are the tough things? What are the losses of later life that you know are going to break your heart and break the heart of people around you? Again, just 1 minute, really quickly, with the people next door. Okay, let's come back together again. There are many areas of potential loss in later life. There is loss of independence, I think, is something that scares many people. When it comes to the over 85 category, 90% of people... Sorry, try that again, I'm getting tongue-tied. If you look at the over 85 category, people in that age bracket spend 90% of their time in their own homes. Only 10% of their time are they able to leave. And that's largely because physically they're not able to leave without somebody helping them to do so. There's loss of health. The hips begin to go. The arthritis kicks in. More serious health conditions will keep people limited. And if you're living in a high-rise block of flats and the lift goes, there really is no way of getting out and about. Of course, it's not just physical, it's mental health problems as well. Alzheimer's, doesn't that put fear and dread into many people's hearts? But the spending time alone at home and Alzheimer's do seem to be statistically connected. People who are lonely have a much higher chance of developing Alzheimer's than people that are in community and are regularly stimulated by conversation and other activities. 1.3 million people in the UK, older people in the UK, suffer with malnutrition. Isn't that a disgraceful statistic? 1.3 million people suffering with malnutrition, partly through financial burdens, partly simply through not being able to get out to the shops and not having the energy to cook a meal. Not that they don't want to, not that they don't understand what nutrition is. They physically can't do it. 25% of older people in Britain today struggle with depression. Quite often, because they are so isolated and alone.
There's loss of independence, there's loss of health, that there's loss of family and friends. The simple reality is, as we get older, more and more of our friends die. Of course, there's no guarantee that we're not going to lose friends when we're younger, but it becomes more frequent. I remember having a heartbreaking conversation with somebody. I was helping them plan their funeral. I said, well, who do you want to give the eulogy? Who do you want to do the reading? And she said, I don't know, dear. I said, well, who are your friends that are going to come? They've all gone, she said. They've all gone before me. 2 million over 75s live alone. And of course, when you lose independence, when you lose your health, when you lose family and friends, of course, a loss of role is another big thing, particularly for those who have been working up until the age of retirement. Suddenly asking big questions about who am I? What is my purpose? I think some people move quite naturally into the grandparent role, but not everyone has children and grandchildren. At least, and not everyone has grandchildren that they're in touch with. They may be in Australia or America or Scotland. What is the purpose? And if those questions remain unanswered, there's very quickly a loss of hope. People very quickly reach the point where they don't want to carry on. Well, privileges and challenges alongside one another means we have fantastic opportunities for the gospel amongst the older age group. And in Britain today, at the moment, this is going to change, but at the moment, 80% of people who are over 75 identify as Christians on the census form. Now, that doesn't mean they are actively Christians coming to church, believing in Christ crucified and risen from the dead. But they would actually say they want a Christian funeral. They've had a Christian wedding maybe at some point in the past. If they were pushed, they could possibly come to the church. That means there's a little point of contact there, a little opportunity to talk about something in common. It means that we'll have a number of older people in our church, it will vary from church to church, who we need to keep training to reach out to these people because they understand the demographics well, who we need to keep using and liberating into ministry because they're the people, quite frankly, who are around at the same time as the other retired people when so many other people are working or looking after small children. It means that we want to be making sure that our over 65s who are Christians are equipped in pastoral care, are equipped in reading the Bible one-to-one. Once you retire from work, you don't retire from Christian service. It means that we want to be modelling to our younger generation what it means to age well within the church. Do we actually say to our 20s and our 30s and our 40s, look at the people who are 60s and 70s, aspire to this. Don't just aspire to being an apprentice or aspire to being a small group leader or aspire to be a pastor or a church planter now. Great though those things are. Aspire to be the man or the woman who at 85 is still reading the Bible one-to-one with somebody 30 years younger than them. Do we value that older ministry in our church? Do we see the potential in those that maybe society says are retired and past their usefulness? But more than anything, there's an opportunity to spread the gospel to those who have heard a little, but not a lot in recent years. And I want to suggest to you that to do that, we need a strategy within our church, not an inflexible strategy, not that strategies are things that make evangelism work, but we need some joined up thinking. And I think there are two ways of doing that strategy. One is a chronological strategy, and that is we have a strategy that starts roughly at age 55, 50-ish, and actually helps people prepare for retirement, then moves on to helping people prepare to do their family wisely in retirement, maybe grandparenting, prepares people to deal with bereavement, prepares people to plan for eternity themselves, a chronological walk through the older years, and making sure we've got something that meets each of those life stages in our church programme. Or alternatively, or possibly both, depending on how big your elderly ministry is in your church, one that helps move people from community and care homes into churches and into ministry, in the same way we would work with younger people, but just very much focused on that older demographic. Well, let me briefly go through both of those. And we're going to start with the first of those, the chronological. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw out some ideas of things that I've been involved with or have known others to be involved with. And I'll pause every so often so we can share some ideas amongst us, because I'm sure there's masses of expertise in the room, probably more so than I've got here. So first of all, do we help people prepare for retirement, both within the church and in the community? One very simple way of doing that is to put on an evening of puddings, cheese puddings that are appropriate for whatever area you live in. Some people are very much into the tiramisus, other people apple pie and custard. It makes no odds what the puddings are. Go for whatever's going to work. And simply have the 50s and 60s in your church come along and invite their 50s and 60s friends from outside church come along. And it's the simplest evening imaginable. You eat lots of incredibly yummy food. And then you simply interview somebody saying, what's it like being retired? What have the big changes been? How has that impacted you on a practical level? How has that impacted you on an emotional, relational level? And how has being a Christian made a difference to that? Very simple, low-level, pre-evangelistic, touching on the gospel briefly kind of event. Get people through the doors to talk about a subject that they're thinking about anyway. But you might want to go slightly deeper than that in your prepare for retirement. Four discussion evenings, all beginning with the letter P. I'm sorry, I started off my life as an Anglican. Having points that have the same letter in front of them appeals to me deeply. I apologise greatly. I know I'm in FIC at the moment. But four evenings that simply cover four different categories. Priorities, people, pounds and pastimes. And in your priorities evenings, it's simply sit around a table or tables, depending on how many people you're there, and you have a facilitator around each table that just facilitates a gentle discussion. And the first evening, you're just looking at what's really important to you as you go into this next phase of your life of retirement. Is that family? Is that travel? Is that finding a new sense of purpose? Is that finding a new sense of identity? And actually having a faith question in there. And is faith part of that priority? Keep it as simple and as open as that. Just getting people to share where they're at in their faith story. Week two, after you've done priorities, looking at people. How are you going to spend time with people? What are you going to be babysitting 4 days a week for the grandchildren? Or actually, is that not an option? And therefore, you need to be making new relationships elsewhere. Where are those relationships going to be made? Where are you going to get the support you need? If you are looking for after the grandchildren 4 days a week, well, where are the mums and tods going to be? And this is the point, just to be slipping in a few gentle invitations to things that will be appealing to people in the different areas. Very gentle. Week three. Looking at pounds, get a financial planner in, get an accountant in if you happen to have one in your congregation or a friendly church nearby. What does it mean to actually get our pensions in order? What does it mean to live within a whole new budget that doesn't quite make sense? What are winter fuel payments? What are the new benefits? What is a state pension? Well, how does all this work? Get someone in to talk about that. And if you're in a church building, well, you can actually preamble that with what God says about money. Ratchet up the faith content a little bit on week three after having answered an really open question week one, just basic literature invitations week two. Get a little bit of teaching in there, saying actually money is important, but it's not the most important thing. And then week four, be looking at pastimes. What kind of new things can they get involved with in their retirement? What kind of exciting, whether that's the allotment, whether that's the Scrabble Club, whether that is knitting, whether that is rock climbing. We don't want to put older people into pigeonholes here. How do they want to spend their time? And of course, do a great little plug for what the church can do for young people. And what opportunities they're young at heart. What opportunities there are there for them to learn about Jesus. And as well as doing those things maybe once every other year or once a year, depending on the size of your church, actually have people in their 60s and 70s teed up to do this one-to-one in their own homes with their friends on a one-to-one level. Not formally, just having these conversations, meeting people where they're at, answering the questions they've got, but having Jesus just a little bit in there. But that's not the only thing you can do. People, if they're often looking after grandparents, and there are 14 million grandparents in the UK today. That's a lot of grannies and grandpas around. Not all over the age of 65, admittedly. But can you do an evening on understanding social media for grandparents? You know, they're looking after their grandchildren week after week after week, and their grandchildren are sitting on these rather strange pads that do really odd things that the grandparents haven't grown up with. How do we help them, equip them to be grandparents? And can we actually say, well, social media skews your grandchild's sense of identity. And as Christians, we believe their identity is this. Social media helps them to connect, but actually also encourages them to compare. And we as Christians see that relationships work best like this. It's a topic that they'll understand. We want to help them understand a topic that's of interest, but bringing the gospel in little by little. How to discipline children. It's changing, but we still have a range of grandparents now for whom corporal punishment was normality. But a range of parents for whom corporal punishment is not reality. They've made different choices a lot of the time. How do you discipline in a way that's so different to when you were a parent? If you've got a mums and tods group, a toddler group, a babies group at your church, well, can you have a granny and grandpa's lunch after it? Maybe the toddler group meets from 10 to 12 or something like that. As people are packing up in there, can the grannies move in to a new part of the church and have a very simple lunch with the people they're looking after? Sat alongside Christians, you can invite them to some kind of Christianity Explored or other kind of discipleship event. Well, we don't need to stop there. As you move through older age, it's not just about preparing for retirement or being retired as a grandparent. You're losing your friends. So what's the bereavement support in our local church? Do we have bereavement counsellors raised up? We have a door-to-door ministry in my church, and they simply, as the name suggests, go from door to door, knock on it, say, hello, I'm Helen from the local church. Just like to invite you to, just like you to make aware of, just like to get to know you. Different phrases come out on different weeks. And sometimes, in fact, fairly often, we meet someone that is older and bereaved. And they say, I've just lost my daughter. I've just lost my husband. Life is very hard. And so the person that is there and then, will say something along the lines of, can I pass that back to the guys in the local church? Would you like it if someone came to visit you and you can talk about how you're feeling? And in my own local church, I look after what's called a care team, which is a practical and spiritual care team. And we will send somebody to an older person in the community who has requested it from our door-to-door ministry. And we will sit and listen to their stories. And sometimes that is an hour of listening and 5 minutes of speaking. You know what? That's okay. If you make that 5 minutes of speaking count. If you make that 5 minutes of speaking a prayer of comfort. If you make that 5 minutes of speaking words of comfort from Scripture. And through those very small steps, we've had people request Bibles. Admittedly, request Bibles of a specific colour because that's what matters most. But nevertheless, requests Bibles and want to start to read. We've had people come along to our elderly tea that happens once a month on a Friday afternoon. We've had people come to our holiday at home, which I'll talk about a little bit later. Just starting. One of my colleagues at work at London City Mission tells the story of how he knocked on a door of a man in a high-rise block of flats. The man opened the door. He said, hello, my name is Phil. I'm from the local church. And I won't give you a direct quote for what came back because that would not be seemly in current circumstances. But it was not a warm welcome. It had the word off somewhere in there. My colleague wandered away, prayed, but a few months later decided to knock on the door again. Because he'd overheard a conversation saying that this man's wife was dying of cancer. So he knocked on the door and said, "Hi, I'm Phil from the church down the road. I called a few months ago. I heard that your wife wasn't well. I was just wondering how she was doing." It wasn't the warmest response, but it was, "Oh, yeah, well, yeah, thanks for asking. Yeah, not great." And so he wandered away and prayed again. A few months later, I think with slight fear and trepidation, knocked on the door again. "Oh, yeah, you're from the local church, aren't you? Come in. Yeah, my wife, yeah, she wanted to talk to you. You know, we've got to think about funerals. We need to start thinking about things." And so my colleague was able to go in and share just a little glimpse of the gospel. No one became a Christian, but he kept going back and sharing Christ with this lady towards the end of her life. Sadly, inevitable happened. She passed away. As far as we know, she never called on the name of Jesus. But my colleague went round with a bunch of flowers and was told the date of the funeral. He went to the funeral a week later and sat at the back. He didn't know any of the other family and friends there. He sat quietly and prayed. And as he was just putting on his coat to leave, because it didn't really seem appropriate to stay for the wake, the husband who had told him to off at the start of this story said, Phil, come over here. I want you to meet all my friends. This is the bloke from the church, what I was telling you about. He's kept coming back to see my wife. Now, Phil, it doesn't make sense to me. Can you just stand up and tell everybody why you did that?" And out of wake, at a funeral service, my colleague was able to proclaim the gospel very boldly and very clearly to a group of people who otherwise would not have heard. Not every story has a happy ending like that, but some of them do. It's worth going out there. And it's all started just by being willing to listen when someone was bereaved. And that planning for eternity is a beautiful thing that churches can do for their communities. Because one thing we can still guarantee in our 21st anti-Christian post-truth society is when you're dead, you expect to end up in a church. Well, most people do anyway, not if you're a Muslim or a Hindu, but if you are part of the 80% that would tick Christian on a census form, you expect that once you are cremated or in a box, that a church or a chapel is going to be part of that process. And that means as churches, we can be people who actually help people plan for their funerals. Not in the, "it's going to cost you £6,500, so start giving us your money now" kind of way, which, let's face it, please don't ever encourage people to do that, because funerals, I understand, should not cost that much money at all. But we can be people who are willing to say, "Well, actually, think about your will. And you can come here. We've got a retired solicitor from our church or from another church. They can just chat things over with you. It's not going to be a legal service we're offering. We don't want to do that. But actually, wills, you can write your own. Just come and chat it through. Make the time. Have a cup of tea. Have a slice of cake. You know, start planning for that now. Start thinking about your funeral. What hymns do you want? Do you know these are the common funeral hymns? You probably don't want to do "I Did It My Way." Nobody wants to sing that when they're crying. What about some of these more traditional hymns? What about that one? "Okay, that's a great hymn. Abide me with me. That's fantastic. Do you know what the words mean? Can I just talk you through it to make sure that they are the words that you would like sung at your funeral? Do you know what it means to abide with Jesus? Do you know what you want in your last hours? Do you want someone to come and pray with you? Do you have some certainty over where you're going? Do you want to know more about what happens after death? Pose them as questions. You know, these are sensitive times. You don't trample on them with size 10 boots going, "You're going to hell." Well, you might want to go down that route, but people don't tend to stay for very long. Give them opportunities to find out. That's the kind of the chronological approach. I'm going to pause there for a moment. When it comes to retirement planning, grandparenting, dealing with bereavement, planning for eternity, have any of you guys got anything going on in your churches that are different to the things that I've just set out there that you'd like to share with the rest of us? It's all gone quiet. Moving on. So what we can do, if it's not chronological, is to think about how we can help people move from community and care homes into our churches and then into ministry. Now, this is probably a bit more of a familiar structure, so we can go through this one a little bit more quickly. Ask yourself the question. In fact, why don't you turn to the person next to you again? It's been a while since we've chatted. What would the average person in your community, the average older person in your community, know about your church? What posters would they see? What reputation have you got? What activities outside of your church building go on? Have a chat with the person next to you. What do you think your public profile is? Okay, let's come back together again. What are the public-facing bits of your church? Anyone want to share something that goes on that would be well-known or relatively well-known? Cafe. So is that a cafe that's happening in your church building, but you kind of fling open the doors and people can wander past and wander in? Great. Fantastic. Anything else? Yeah?
We run a seniors lunch every week. We get referrals from social services, lonely people, when they come to the lunch club.
Brilliant. Yeah, referrals from social services to lunch clubs. So it's one of those things, you look at your church diary and you think, oh, once a week feels like a big commitment. Let's do it once a month. And I understand that. But if you want that referral from the statutory services, it needs to be a weekly thing. Because very few statutory services will refer on to something that's a monthly thing. They don't think. So please don't do weekly if you can't sustain it, because clearly that's not going to be helpful to anybody. No nervous breakdowns in the congregation, please. But just to be aware, if you want that referral, you need to have that real regularity to your activities. And it, of course, does depend on your local social services as well. Social services has a responsibility to make sure people's faith needs are met, as well as their practical needs. You will find different practice in different areas, but it's always worth a while sending them a poster to see if you can get it displayed. GPs are a good place to display posters as well. Community notice boards, get things up there. Putting literature through people's doors. In every community, or most communities, there's going to be that street which is known for having lots of retired people on it. It might be that it's actual social housing for the over 65s. We've certainly got some of those near me. But it might just be, it just happens to be that street where a lot of older people live. And you can find out that information maybe from the census, the electoral roll. You can't find it out definitively. But if everyone's called sort of Doris and Elsie and Hilda, you know, it gives you a little bit of a hint of the demographics of that name. Now that, of course, some of those names are coming back now, so you do have to be slightly careful. And actually, make sure if you have leafletting down that road, have it in large print. Because and in fact, have all of your publicity in at least accessible print, even if it's not large print. Because otherwise people will simply pick it up and put it in the bin because they can't read it. And we need to fight that 21st century urge to have everything online as well. I mean, websites are beautiful things. And actually, you will find quite a lot of, you know, techie retired people who are sitting there with their pads. I mean, they're using it to communicate, you know, FaceTime with their grandchildren in Australia or something like that. But they're still not necessarily going to be wanting to do Google searches to find the local church that is offering them a lunch club or something like that. Make sure that there's paper stuff going out, large print stuff going out. And actually, sometimes, looking at the demographics again, you know, different languages as well. There can be, you know, if you're in an area where there's a large maybe Hindu or Muslim community, there are often going to be elderly relatives living in that home, but not necessarily elderly relatives that read English very well. Because they've come to England quite late in life, haven't had the opportunity to learn, are living very much in their communities. So go round, have the posters up, do the literature, knock on doors, see who's there, talk to them. If you knock on the door and you find it's an elderly person who speaks Urdu, simply make a note of the door number and come back with a tract in Urdu and the address of your church on there or something like that. There are loads around. Just Google it. You'll find them quite easily. See what you can do to reach out. And even if they won't come to your church, you've given them a little glimpse of the gospel. And that's no bad thing. So start off with the community and do some events that are higher profile. You know, actually get out there and say to people, you know, yes, there's a street party. And so as a church, we're going to have a stall at the street party to celebrate whatever, you know, national holidays come up. And actually have it that's not just for the younger people, but for the older people as well. Have those leaflets out. Go into your local care homes. Again, care homes have a responsibility to ensure that the spiritual needs of their residents are met. They're going to want to be sure that you're not going to go in there and do something that is so heavy and hard pressured that it's going to make people flee with terror. But a lot of them are really open to a more traditional service. A very simple, a very short service. And when I say simple and short, I'm probably talking something along the lines of a couple of really well-known hymns, a very short Bible reading, maximum of 10 minutes of input from the front, and the Lord's Prayer, probably with the these and the thous in there at this stage. Nothing more than that. But of course, it doesn't have to stop there. You know, once you've got that connection with that care home manager, you know, care homes are desperate for people to run activities a lot of the time. They just don't have the budgets. So if you can take some games along, it's going to be fantastic. Get a big dice, not little dice. Arthritic fingers can't handle a little dice. Get a big foam dice and get people to chuck it across the floor to get the number 6, to play with the giant snakes and ladders. And you really can buy giant snakes and ladders. It's great. And lots of other things like that. Have it all on the floor. Get some of your younger members of the congregation who are quite happy crawling around on the floor to move all the pieces and go and chase the dice when Doris has thrown it at Edward's head and she can get it back. And actually do some wonderful games. Keep it simple so those people who are starting to struggle with dementia or forgetfulness don't have to remember lots of rules and regulations, stuff that will be from their childhood. And take visiting cards as well. 10 of those do some visiting cards. There are some more coming out quite soon that Faith in Later Life are going to be organising. I'll talk more about that in a moment. And they're just little postcards that will have a picture and a single Bible verse on there. So the one I love to use, and one that I'm finishing writing at the moment, is one of the I Am sayings of Jesus. And it couldn't be simpler. It is basically picture of loaf of bread. I am the bread of life. And you spend 2 minutes talking about what it means for Jesus to sustain us both now and forever. Little prayer on the back. Job done, 6 minutes max. Leave the card with that person. Picture of a sheep. What does it mean for Jesus to be our shepherd? One prayer on the back, 2 sentences. 6 minutes with that person and you're done. And over the course of the 7 weeks, you can build up the I Am sayings. And because they get so few visitors often in care homes, they'll have those sayings up on their wardrobe and they'll look at them every day. A chance to refresh what maybe they once knew, a chance to teach what maybe they've never known. But it's not just about going out into the community or going out into care homes and chaplaincies. Chaplaincy is more complex. There are more rules and regulations now in hospitals, but there's still a chance to talk to people about Jesus if they request a Christian chaplain. But we want our churches to be places where non-Christian people of older age can come and both just have a wonderful time, but also hear wonderful news about Jesus. So get those teas and those lunches running. If they're lunches, please be sensitive to the ethnic areas that you're working in. If you're working in an area where there is a high Muslim population, please don't serve sausages. It's just not going to end well. If you're working in an area with a high Hindu population and you want the people to come in, you know, beef's not going to be the way to go, even though it might be really popular with other people there. Just be sensitive to the people, and not just sensitive to the people that you've got coming, sensitive to the people that you want to come. Create a climate which means that people that aren't yet there will see it as alluring and appealing and want to enjoy. Have a little pause for thought. Have a little pause for thought before the meal, not after the meal. So I would maybe do, if you're having a starter or a drink, get people settled down, give them that. Then do the pause for thought, then have the meal. It's really hard, even when you're not 85, to stay awake after a large meal. It's even harder when you are 85. Get them while they're awake to hear about Jesus. Keep it light, keep it short. Keep it using illustrations they will understand. Set up holidays at home in your churches. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days in August where people who used to go away for holidays can come to you for their holiday. You can have a shed area for the blokes set up in one corner, and they can go and make things and read gardening magazines. They can go and pot stuff. They can go and watch the footy, the highlights from the 1960 whatever World Cup. I have no clue what even year would be good to watch. But those kind of things that maybe men of a certain age would want to do. You have a craft corner, a nail bar for some of the girls. Obviously, it's not, you know, there can be swap over. A man can have his nails down. The woman can go and watch footy. We're not prescriptive here. But you try and get some things that are likely to appeal. One year at our church, it was glorious. We did a day by the seaside. We got loads of play sand. We put it out on tarpaulings. We had a sandcastle making competition on tables. We even got paddling pools, put them in the church, stuck chairs like this around the outside, got everyone to take their stockings off, and we all went for a paddle in paddling pools while sitting down. And we passed around the ice cream while we were there. We put on a mock Punch and Judy show without the domestic violence bit and just got people enjoying something from their childhood and then gave them a 10-minute talk about how Jesus met his disciples on the beach and cooked breakfast. It doesn't have to be, it can be a time travel bit. It can be a looking at different countries. You know, we can have an Africa day, a Europe day, an Asia day. Get people to celebrate their own cultures, bring food to share, and then talk about how Jesus is for the whole world. I suppose it's a little bit like a children's holiday club, but rather more mature. Have care teams that are willing to go and help people with their benefits. Have services midweek that are accessible. A morning service is often too hard for a frail person to get to because their drugs haven't kicked in properly. An evening service is too hard to get to because it's dark and they're scared to go home afterwards. A midday service, midweek, is much more likely to appeal to somebody of an older age. Traditional hymns, traditional words, but no less gospel-centred. Large print, not in the part of the church that involves going up steps, making sure lifts are being put on by people that are appropriately checked and trained. And have Bible studies. We have senior seekers in our church, people that have come through our lunch our afternoon teas and our holidays at home. They're given an invitation to a senior seekers Bible study, and they meet in threes or fours during the week to look at the Gospel of Mark or the Gospel of John or something like that and work out what following Jesus means for them in their later life. We don't use particularly different material, but we do throw wide the doors. And then when people do come to Christ, and it is a glorious thing when someone comes to Christ. I had the privilege of having a Chinese lady in my home group, and she'd come along with one of her friends, and she didn't believe in Jesus. She tried Buddhism, she tried Mormonism. Neither of them seemed to work for her. She thought they was all a bit ridiculous. So she thought she'd try Christianity. And I remember talking about the resurrection and talking about the kind of prayers that people can pray if they want to follow Jesus. And out of the blue, she just chirped up, "Oh, I think I want to pray that prayer." And it's a wonderful thing when somebody in later life comes to Christ. We then had her baptism. It was a little tricky in the pool. She didn't bend very well. But it was wonderful to see her go down to the water and come back up again. And now she is the person in charge of tea towels at Dundonald Church, Raines Park. And quite frankly, there would be no health and safety in our kitchens without her. She is a joy and a delight. And we can train her to reach out to others.
I'm conscious we're out of time, so let me just flag some resources. London City Mission write these free booklets for churches. Do come and take a sample copy. If you'd like more, there's contact details on the back of how you can get more. They're ideas for you to take, share with your church, and then discuss with your church, just discussion starters. They are completely free from us, although supporter relations would love me to say donations are always welcome if you choose to take a group. Some books here, A Good Old Age, available on the bookstall. It's a good read if you want to get started in this ministry. Latest book from me, Five Things to Pray for Your City, which includes a chapter on praying for the elderly. And if you're looking for a very simple Bible study, unfortunately it's not large print, but we could probably make it large print. 3 weeks evangelistic, A Better Hero, short passage from Mark, three questions to discuss each week. Just dip a toe in. Ideal for working with people who just want a snippet at a time rather than a long Bible study. I'm conscious I've talked quite a lot there. Elizabeth, finish us off.
On behalf of FIC and the Leaders Conference, but particularly for the folk that have been at your seminars, Helen, thank you. Immensely helpful, immensely practical, and obviously from a vast area of your of experience that the Lord has led you through. Not the elderly part yet, I understand.
But it's coming quite soon.
I know, I know. Can I just pray specifically for you as we finish? Father God, thank you for Helen. Father, thank you for our dear sister in Christ and for her heart and her burden to reach people and to help fellow believers reach people. Father, we do pray for our elderly communities, and we pray, Father, that as our churches, we would have a greater burden for the elderly. Father, these are dear folk who've lived long lives, and yet who knows how many days they've got left. Only the Lord God knows that. Father, help us, we pray, in what could be their final months, weeks, or days, to seek to reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And Father God, please would you do a great work in the hearts of those that get to hear the gospel. Would you just draw a great harvest for yourself from this area of our society at the moment. And Father, do bless Helen, please, in her ongoing ministry. Thank you for the ministry of London City Mission. Thank you for the ministry of Dundonald Church in Wimbledon. Father, please would you give them fruit, each area of ministry in that vast, vast city of London. Please give them great fruit for all that they're seeking to do to promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in all of that ministry, and in the ministry of our own churches and our personal lives, please, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you enable us to glorify the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Elizabeth.